Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Dan Beyer.
The Dallas Cowboys and Detroit Lions start Week 14 tonight, 8:15 Eastern Time from Motown. Lions wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown officially listed as questionable for tonight's contest. Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter won't play Monday night after undergoing a procedure on both of his shoulders. They're in L.A. to face the Chargers. The team will consider Carter week to week, according to ESPN, as the goal is for the defensive lineman to be ready for the postseason. No practice today for Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. He was limited yesterday. Ravens host the Steelers on Sunday, while Cardinals wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. was not spotted at practice today. He's nursing a heel injury. Former Steelers corner Darius Slay is unsure if he wants to play anymore in the NFL. He hasn't reported to the Buffalo Bills after being claimed on waivers by the team yesterday. Bucks forward Giannis Antetokounmpo will be sidelined 2 to 4 weeks because of a calf strain. Akshay Batia is at 6 under and shares the lead at the Hero World Challenge.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, four major North American beekeeping organizations released the first ever North American Bee Strategy. It's a continent-wide plan to protect honeybees, strengthen professional beekeeping viability, and safeguard food security across the U.S. and Canada. The strategy lays out four priorities, including improving monitoring, treatment, and research on pest diseases. Other priorities include supporting applied research, shared research infrastructure, and streamline scientific collaboration. The goal is to build a more unified and sustainable honey market. Just in time for the holiday season, the cranberry production forecast is in. Cranberries are harvested ahead of the holidays and widely available from October to December. With one barrel equivalents to 100 pounds, the 2025 U.S. cranberry crop is forecast at 8.13 million barrels, a decrease of 9% from last year, but close to the five-year average of 7.95 million barrels. The Trump administration plans to announce an aid package for American farmers soon, as well as a deal on Chinese soybean purchases. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins didn't provide further details, but Reuters reports the administration has said for months it would issue assistance for U.S. farmers ravaged by low crop prices and trade disputes. Rollins says we'll have an announcement probably in the next week or two on what that's going to look like.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station featuring the Ag Information Network News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
Get the equipment and trucks you need at Ritchie Brothers Los Angeles Auction, December 18th and 19th. This absolute unreserved auction is open to the public and registration is free. For more details, visit rbauction.com.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks mixed as investors remain cautious ahead of September's delayed PCE inflation report, which will be released tomorrow morning. The data will offer the first clear look at inflation since the government shutdown and could potentially sway the Fed in terms of rate cut decisions. Tech is gaining today while consumer staples are lagging, and the Magnificent Seven big tech stocks are mostly higher, led by Meta and Nvidia. Shares of Meta are jumping 4% following reports that the social media platform is set to make major cuts to its metaverse efforts as it continues to push further into the AI space. The price of Bitcoin is hovering around $93,000 and is back in the green for the year, continuing its recent recovery after falling around $84,000 on Monday. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. It's your last chance to get exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 35% off. That's Lenovo.com.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location, Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online, DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Looking for the best golf deal on the Central Coast? The 2026 SLO County Golf Card is here, and it's your ticket to play more golf for less all year long. For only $125, you'll unlock amazing benefits at Dairy Creek, Chalk Mountain, and Morro Bay Golf Course. But hurry, this offer is only on sale through January 1st. With your card, you'll enjoy $15 golf rounds every day after 12 noon, even on weekends at Chalk Mountain Golf Course. Now through March 31st. And on Tuesdays, you can tee off for just $15 all day long. That's not all. You'll also receive a free round at Chalk Mountain, a free round at Morro Bay, a free nine-hole round at Dairy Creek, and a bonus free round on your birthday. So don't miss your chance to make 2026 your best golf year yet. Visit slocountygolf.com today and grab your Slo County Golf Card before January 1st.
At Good Neighbors Electric, they're more than just electricians. They're your neighbors. Whether it's a small repair or a big project, from home inspections and panel upgrades to full electrical rebuilds, their licensed pros show up on time and do the job right. Good Neighbors Electric, locally owned, family operated, and proud to serve our community with honesty, skill, and a smile. Good Neighbors Electric. Call 805-610-5530 or visit goodneighborselectric.com.
Should the United States recognize Red China? If so, what's in it for us? And what's in it for the Chinese? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Too often in our pursuit of detente, we act as if a concession on our side is automatically helpful to the process as a whole. But if you think about it, nothing could make détente less meaningful, either to the United States or to the populations of the communist nations, than an unending series of one-sided American concessions. If our adversaries can get what they want, formal recognition, liberalized trade, technical help, what have you, without making any modifications in their foreign or domestic policies, then the basis for true friendship is erased. It's only by a change in the nature of communism, a movement away from the policies of aggression abroad and repression at home, that communism and the West will be able to live together in harmony. If the communists get the prestige and material aid they want without having to change any of their own policies, the seeds of future conflict will be continually nourished, ready to sprout anew with little or no warning. It seems to me that before making new concessions, our policymakers need to nail down, not just on paper, but in their own minds, exactly what it is we're getting in return. This applies in particular to the recognition of Red China, a move which would involve the downgrading of our relations with the Republic of China on Taiwan, which is a major trading partner and one of the most stable, prosperous Asian countries. Despite its severe political setbacks of the past 2 years in the United Nations and elsewhere, the Republic of China has emerged from a difficult period in robust economic health and with renewed political vigor. In the Far East, the concept of face is important. Recognition of the communist regime in Peking and downgrading of relations with Taipei is therefore a matter of great importance to the nations involved, and thus to us. We should not make such a move in the absence of concrete concessions from Peking. In the long run, no concession is more important than a relaxation of China's brutal policy toward its own people. With the victory of Premier Chou Enlai and his so-called moderate allies in the recent Communist Party conference, promises have been made to the Chinese people along these lines. Under a newly adopted constitution, the people, for the first time since the revolution, have been given the right to work for themselves and for their families' benefit. Industrial workers can moonlight. Peasants can cultivate private plots. In the political realm, there's to be less emphasis on strict conformity to the party line and more freedom to speak out. These moves come on the heels of warnings by the Chou faction that a continuation of the cruel repression favored by party chairman Mao Zedong could lead to overthrow of the government. Thus, the present relaxation may be more a matter of political survival than increased benevolence. Whatever the motives, we should welcome these steps and wait a considerable time to see whether they're implemented. This is especially important when we consider the advanced age and, in some cases, illness of China's current leadership and the chronic instability of China's politics in recent years. And we should be exacting a much tougher price in China's external policies. It's easy to talk of friendship with the United States when at the same time you're free to threaten war with Taiwan and to fund terrorist liberation movements in South Vietnam, Cambodia, and elsewhere. Before we even think about recognition of the Peking government, we should make sure their deeds match their words. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter. Go to Cal Coast News. We have no paywall. And I will say 90% of the major investigative stories that have led to indictments in this county for the last 20 years have been started by Cal Coast News investigations. And we have a couple blockbusters in the works right now. I do want to give a couple quick news updates. There was a crash on Highway 46 this morning. There was a Paso Robles man, 63-year-old man, driving a green Lexus headed westbound on Highway 46. He pulled up to Golden Hill Road. He stopped at the stop sign. And while he was stopped, a Freightliner truck crashed into the back of him, killing him. The truck driver was not drunk. He was not on drugs. He was still arrested for manslaughter. He didn't even slow down. He didn't see the man. I don't know if he was sleeping or what happened. But that happened this morning. One man is dead and another man is in jail. There is, I'll go over some other ones at the top of the hour. I want to get, today we have Seth Peek. He is an Atascadero city councilman, and he is a brand new city councilman. He was literally elected this November. How many months have you been on the council now?
Exactly 12 months. Well, 12 months, December 10th or 12th last year.
I find that very interesting because I always watch different people get elected, and I watch what they do. And I'm going to give an example for the Board of Supervisors. Bruce Gibson's been on since, I think, like 06 was when he was first elected. And he is like a broken record. If he's not winning the vote, he always tries to delay. And he has like three different ways he tries to delay. Well, let's run a study. Or I think we need more information. It's very, very, very limited. I watch the new people come in. And they always try to work with him at first. You go, oh, okay, we'll do your study. And after about 6 months, they're going, no. some take a year or two, actually. But I notice a major difference in their abilities. Another one, Debbie Arnold. When Debbie Arnold, she ran twice for county supervisor. And when she first was elected, she talked without comfort. She was a little nervous when she was speaking. You didn't see her as comfortable and powerful. You saw her a little bit as nervous. And I think she's the best supervisor that's been on the board in my time. And I saw her within about 2 years, just well-spoken. But the main thing about her was she fought for the people, and she aggressively fought for the people. But it took her a little while, and then one time we were talking, and she noticed the Bruce Gibson delay tactics also. So, Seth, I really want to know. So, first, when you first get elected, you go in. Was it comfortable the first couple meetings?
Yes. The winter generally is a lower, there's not as many heavy-hitting agenda items that time of the year, especially with a new councilman. It was conveyed to me by manager's office, Jim Lewis's office. Generally, when a new council person comes in, they save the tougher, more in-depth agenda items after we have a strategic plan meeting in February. It was pretty pretty comfortable. Everybody at the city was very welcoming. Everything was kind of as expected in the beginning. I think a lot of the unexpected things came more mid-year. It was a delayed reaction. I think it was a kind of a slow burn to get elected because it took nearly 30 plus days to what do you call it when you're official? The election results were official, that all the counts were in.
Sworn in.
So I think we were the second slowest county in the state of counting our ballots, and we have such a small population. So it was a long time waiting for the official results, although I was in the lead for several weeks. It seemed like that was the way it was going. It was still quite a wait. So around December 12th, got elected. A couple months. There's only one meeting or so in December. And then January we hit the ground running. We had our strategic planning meeting as a council, which is open to the public. We're having another one this February. It's an open forum. I mean, you can come listen. And that's in February. So we hit that. We kind of went over what we're going to be doing the next 2 years and kind of set the tone for the year. And then we went from there, and it's been different. I would say getting used to a little bit of a different pace coming from private sector. I'm a business owner, several businesses in Atascadero. Getting on the council, you know, you have to learn quickly the process of government and how things go through a little bit slower than if you were me and my brother in the painting company, just saying, "Hey, do you want to go spend this money? Sure, let's go spend the money. Let's make it happen." So it was a little bit different getting used to that. But in general, our city staff, the city manager's office, I deal with most directly, and then the department heads, they're very easy to communicate with, and generally generally informative and concise enough. And I appreciate concise, efficient communication, and I think we're all learning how to talk to each other. After a year, our styles have kind of meshed, and I know how to speak to each of them, and I know how they like to, you know, communicate. So it's becoming more and more a well-oiled machine, but I can say that, yeah.
And how do you get along with the other council members?
We're all cordial, we're all friendly, we're all appreciative and respectful that it's not a very high-paying job. You know,
it's not a job, it's service.
It's service, yeah. So we all respect that we're doing it to be of service to the community. And I 100% think and believe that everybody that's on the council now with me currently right now has service for Atascadero on their hearts. So it may be different down the road if I'm still on the council, but as of right now, I think everybody's there for the right reasons. And so whether or not we agree on something, it's not going to affect how I see their character, because I know that our intentions are for the good of the community.
I will tell you, decades, we're talking back in like 06, that time, mm-hmm. You probably had the most, you had one of the most contentious councils. It was a time that Kelly Gearhart was trying to get the city to mm-hmm. take property by eminent domain.
Yeah.
And you can't take a business to put a different business in by eminent domain. Mm-hmm. You can do a road or something else. And they kept coming up into fights. And you had some people that just loved Kelly Gearhart. At the time, Tom O'Malley had this, I don't know why, but he was even pointing at me in the back room. That reporter here that said things about Kelly Gearhart, pointing to the back of the room at me. But I remember then they were arguing so much at a team building workshop. And you had Tom O'Malley, who was sitting not too far from Mike Brendler. And Tom O'Malley got up and wanted to have a fist fight in the parking lot during the team building workshop. It got a little heated. They didn't go throw punches, but it was the nastiest meeting I've ever seen. And to have someone there, you're paying a consultant to help you get along. So what I'm saying is the Atascadero has a history of having some wild meetings.
Well, I think there's a history. I wasn't here then, and I wasn't. I was in college at that time in San Diego State, and I moved here in 2012. So I wasn't around, but I do read history of Atascadero. I do go back and look at some minutes, especially some decisions that are important. I've gone back and read some minutes, or you know, looked it up online to see kind of what was the reasoning behind this and that, and you know, ask staff like, when was the last time we talked about this, and kind of get the history of that, but. In terms of personalities and whatnot, I can't really speak to that, but I do know that now I can't even think of any drama that I've experienced in the last year among staff or council. And you know, and I hear that from other people that it's an anomaly within the county, and I'm blissfully unaware that there's more drama elsewhere. And I mean I hear about it and I read about it, but I try to stay in my lane and see what we can do for Atascadero. And see how we can get along to keep things moving forward. Because it's not a lot of times when you get mired down in that drama, then it stalemates the government, stalemates decision making, and then nothing happens.
You know, though, sometimes I think it's bad when they get along too well and they try to, they're not fighting for their constituents. Mm-hmm. I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I don't think it's good when you're trying to have punches. Mm-hmm. But I think passionate debates with people with different views is good for government.
Well, we do have that. I just would say that there, in the past year that I've been involved, there hasn't been very many situations where we could have a passionate debate and really, you know, there hasn't been any red button issues except for maybe one. But even that, there hasn't been any blowback in terms of, I can't believe you. I can't believe this person. I can't, you know, there's a little bit of drama. You know, I mean, I made it into the shredder, into the New Times after my vote.
What was that red button issue?
Well, cannabis okay. Retail. And I voted against cannabis retail, but it was a long meeting and there was a lot of things said, and probably everybody's opinions. There were some public comment, about eight people in the audience. And But that was maybe one of the only votes last year where it was split, almost 3-2. You know, usually it's unanimous or 5-1. You know, so I haven't had a lot of experiences like you're talking about yet, but I'm not adverse to conversations and debating people based on what I feel and what I know to be true. So I look forward to those topics.
And you do have those people. You have those people that look at cannabis and vote for it sometimes and against it.
Yeah.
And then you have people that never saw a cannabis shop they didn't want. Mm-hmm. And you have those that hate all cannabis.
Right.
But there are, I do think the bulk of the public officials in this county, most of them go down the middle.
Yeah. I've spoken to a few just to get their opinions on them. And I'm not going to name names. And it seems like that's probably the sentiment. More so than like maybe ruffling feathers. They don't want to pick a side. It seems like an innocuous situation. It's already legal on the state level. Although I see that it's legal on the state level, I just don't think that retail walk-up cannabis shops are the right thing for Atascadero.
Well, the money's in the toilet. And that's what Santa Barbara County was making big money. They lost money last year. San Luis Obispo County loses money on their cannabis. Grover Beach was doing really well. It's not bringing in that much anymore. And more cannabis stores are actually closing because the business is in the toilet.
Yeah.
The economy's not great. There were a lot of people that went out and bought it once. Mm-hmm. You know, it became legal. I'm going to go into a cannabis shop and never went back.
Right.
Only, I think they say 14% of the population smokes pot at least once a year. So it's not the majority of the...
I like to see who makes that study, where that study comes from.
There were studies done in whenever the states are bringing things in, these are state-run studies. Mm-hmm. Colorado, I think, had it, of all the places approving, it had the highest. They may have gotten up to like 16%, but California's been pretty steady at about 14%. Mm-hmm. And some others are about 12%.
Yeah, but somebody smoking once a year, they're probably not purchasing it. Somebody else may be offering it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you never, I mean... Anyway, long story short, there's things like, you know, that we voted 3-2 against it, but we'll see what happens in the future. But in my opinion, retail cannabis doesn't have a place in Atascadero. I think that the opposition or the opposing view is that, well, it's a business, it's legitimate, it's legal business. Why can't we just take a benefit of it through a tax? And
so are strip clubs, though, and a lot of people don't want strip clubs in their cities.
Yeah, and I think that was the impetus for, you know, the article and the little blurb in the Shredder about me. He's like, you know, Peak is equating heavy drinking to heroin use to pot to all these different things. And that's the, you know, that's what you get when you pull things out of context and you just put it in a newspaper. But it's not the same. I mean, a strip club and a cannabis shop is not the same thing, but it is. If it's not something that you want to fit into the place of the community, then it's just... It's my prerogative to say I don't want it here as a city council person.
And it's, again, the regulating, you're showing that places are losing money on it because you do have to, the state makes your police department has to agree to regulate it. So you have to have cameras in there. You have to do, it can end up costing more than it's brought in. And again, the county, Slo County loses money every year on cannabis. So it's not always, they always say this pie in the sky money thing. The pie in the sky money thing I haven't seen in most jurisdictions.
I didn't vote no to reject the money, the taxes. I voted no because I think it's just not right for a family community. That's what.
And you did bring something up when we were first talking. You said this first year had a couple unexpected things. Can you tell me what those were?
Unexpected in terms of I would say just the way the meetings go and the way the decision making goes, I thought it would be like coming from the private sector, I thought things are a little bit more streamlined. So I'm getting used to, like I said before, the slowness, the little bit slower of government and bureaucracy for getting things through. The unexpected, I think that there was a couple like decisions that were, that I didn't really know if it was something that was going to be as controversial as it was. I think that the renaming of the zoo has been a great idea. I think a lot of people probably disagree with me. A lot of people probably agree with me. But that's been a pretty innocuous, in the grand scheme of things, it's been pretty innocuous, but it's not, everybody has an opinion, and I think that it's important to hear everybody out, but something like that.
That's a small thing, but you are right. People get ridiculously upset over renamings, but we've got to take a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Seth Peek.
Before we realize it, we will begin celebrating another new year. At Davis Body Shop, we have taken part in over 50 New Year celebrations, and it started back in 1962. Over these years, our New Year's resolutions have remained the same, giving you impeccable quality workmanship, always giving you a written guarantee, giving you the very best value, and making sure that your experience is as pleasant as possible. And that includes assisting you in getting your insurance paperwork filed properly. Remember, at Davis Body Shop, you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Davis Body Shop has two locations, one on El Camino Real downtown Atascadero, and the other on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet. From the Davis Body Shop family to yours, best wishes for a happy holiday season.
Wesley here from Stove and Spa Center. I just wanted to thank you for letting us make your life more comfortable for 35 years. You can see and explore all of our hearth products, wood, gas, pellet, and electric, to keep you warm and cozy during cold and wet winters. Or maybe you're looking to enjoy the benefits of what hot tub soothing water can do for your body and to melt away the stress that living today brings on. Or perhaps you want to get in better shape this year by exercising in one of our swim spas. There are many models and sizes. We even have models with treadmills built into them. We have a large showroom with lots of the products we sell. Plus, lead times to get products have been greatly reduced. And of course, you can still get all the supplies and even get your water tested for your pool and spa. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Come check us out at Stove and Spa Center, 7485 El Camino Real Atascadero, between Kerberel and Moore Roads. All products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I have Atascadero City Councilman Seth Peek. We were talking at the before we went to break about the name change at the zoo, and I don't know why, but people do. There's a lot of reactions to name changes, well, but in this case, wasn't it financially motivated?
Well, I just want to comment on, you know, I understand. I didn't grow up here. I moved here when I was 26. I'll be 40 next in a couple months. So I don't have as much of an affinity for, you know, Charles Paddock, the Paddock family, the history of that part of the zoo. And so I'm not going to speak to that people shouldn't feel uncomfortable with a name change or upset with it. When I came onto the city council, the wheels were turning on this project. And so when it started going, and the reason why we were explained to that the name was changing, it made sense to me from a business perspective.
What was the reason?
Well, the zoo operates like at a, I think like $500,000 to $700,000 deficit every year, which comes from the taxpayer. So they don't make enough money to support the cost of running the zoo. So it's not common, it's not recommended for a city to own a zoo, own the property and own the, and employ the employees and run and feed the tiger and do all these things. The city, I'm not a big fan of the city being in the zoo business. And the plan that the city manager's office and the council has approved is to get the zoo on its own 2 feet, paying for everything itself. We're the board, the Friends of the Central Coast Zoo, as it is now, or I'm not sure exactly what it's been renamed. The Friends of the Zoo will be running the zoo, funding the zoo, and operating the finances, and then, in my opinion, hopefully leasing the property for pennies a year just to have a offering like a zoo in the community. But from a financial perspective, having a zoo that's a hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars deficit every year, that comes out of the taxpayers' money, and then people aren't attending the zoo because we were not able to, you know, do some improvements to it because we're running at a deficit. So the zoo's losing money. And so when they try a new campaign to rename the zoo and get it financially and have a financial plan to get it, solve it.
And you had to rename, though, correct? Because you want to be accredited and you couldn't be accredited before.
Yeah. So this is all newer. In the past year, I'm learning a lot about the zoo business, which is not it's not something I thought I would be learning in my first year. Unexpected, like I said. The Zoological Society is very strict with how we get accredited as a zoo. And we're an accredited zoo. And it's not easy to do. There's a lot of zoos that people probably don't realize they visit in other cities that are not. If you're not accredited, you can't have certain animals. You can't be on certain lists to get, you know, resources and benefits through the Zoological Society, maybe through grants and whatnot. You're not going to be as, it's not going to be as well-funded. Let's just put it that way. And it's not going to have as much, the exhibits won't be as nice and the animals won't be as interesting. So we are at the risk of losing our accreditation because the zoo has a lot of disrepair. The last couple of years, we've gone through a lot of repairs. Dr. Stringfield came over from the Tampa Zoo in Florida, and she's done a wonderful job directing the zoo since she's been here. And we've done a lot of capital improvements, a lot of exhibit improvements, either through donations or through local contractors coming in and doing, whether it's repoxing the floors of the spider monkeys or moving statues around or doing different things. In order to keep our accreditation, your zoo has to look, be clean, be well-maintained. There's a lot of checkpoints. And so our Dr. Stringfield and Terry Banish, a community development director, and Jim Lewis went to the accreditation board in Santa Barbara, the Zoological Society, and we got accredited. And it was like, we were thinking we were going to have like a stipulation where he's like, we're going to accredit you, but you have to do this. But no, we got accreditation and we have to keep it up over the next year and, you know, make sure that we're minding our P's and Q's. And it all goes back to being financially stable. If the zoo's not financially stable, I really don't think the city should be funding a zoo. And if the zoo's not well attended by members of the community, then it's not going to be... It's not going to be funded. But I just think that the name change makes sense, why people are emotional about it, but also from a business side, coming into it as a new city council person, it also pencils out and makes sense.
And you're looking, because of the name change and what you've done, as not having to fund the zoo in the next few years, correct?
Yeah. Five plus years having the zoo be completely self-funded and off the city's plate.
We're going to take a break, a word with our sponsors, and this is our top of the hour break, and then we'll be back with more with Seth Peek.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.